Have you ever had one of those moments where you were absolutely, positively sure someone was about to be mad at you, and then somehow the whole thing turned into friendship instead? Because honestly, some of the best friendships in the world may have started with confusion, panic, and one deeply suspicious eyebrow. Today, we're diving into five hilariously wholesome misunderstandings that could have turned awkward, embarrassing, or completely disastrous, but instead ended with laughs, warm feelings, and the kind of friendship that makes life a little softer. And yes, there will be confusion. There will be apologizing. There may even be a baked good or two. Let's get into it. Welcome back to Storytime, the place where tiny disasters become cozy little legends. If you've ever waved back at someone who was actually waving at the person behind you, or accidentally called a teacher mom, you are among friends here. These stories are all about those beautifully strange moments when two people misunderstand each other so badly that it circles all the way back around to being charming. Each one starts with tension, takes a sharp left into comedy, and ends with two people realizing, "Wait, you're kind of great." So grab your tea, your coffee, or your emotional support snack, and let's meet the first misunderstanding. There was a woman named Jenna who worked at a small office where everyone knew each other just enough to be polite, but not enough to know each other's favorite ice cream. One Monday morning, Jenna brought in a box of homemade cupcakes because she had made way too many after a weekend baking spree. She set them in the break room with a little note that said, "Help yourself." Now, across the room sat Marcus, the office accountant, who was the quiet type. Not unfriendly, just the kind of person who looked permanently one email away from solving a tax mystery. He saw the cupcakes, walked over, picked one up, and then froze. Because Jenna had accidentally put the box right next to a stack of reports he had missed the previous week. Marcus stared at the reports, then at the cupcakes, then at Jenna. And because his brain was apparently doing gymnastics in flip-flops, he assumed the cupcakes were not a treat. He quietly said, "Oh, so this is how we're doing this." Jenna blinked. "How we're doing what?" Marcus lowered his voice like he was in a spy movie. "The cupcakes, as a message." Jenna laughed once, because she thought he was joking. He did not laugh back. Suddenly, Jenna realized Marcus was actually serious. He thought she was trying to passive-aggressively shame him about the overdue reports using baked goods, which, to be fair, is such an oddly specific corporate move that it almost sounded plausible. Jenna nearly dropped her coffee. "Marcus, no. Those cupcakes are not an office warning system. I made too many. Please take one before I eat them all and regret everything." Marcus looked at her, then looked at the cupcakes again. Then very slowly he said, "So you're not disappointed in me?" That was the moment the whole thing melted. Turns out Marcus had recently had a rough time at work and had become weirdly sensitive to signs of disapproval. Jenna immediately softened. She told him the reports could wait 10 minutes, and the cupcakes absolutely could not. Marcus admitted he had thought the note, "Help yourself," sounded suspiciously cheerful for a punishment. They both laughed so hard one of the other employees had to stick her head in and ask if anyone had died. No one had died. But a friendship had begun. After that, Marcus started sitting with Jenna at lunch. Jenna started saving him the best cupcakes, and he started being the guy who quietly fixed her printer whenever it made weird wheezing noises like it was haunted. All because one man saw frosting and thought, "This is a formal warning." A boy named Eli was walking his golden retriever, Biscuit, through the neighborhood when disaster struck in the most adorable way possible. Biscuit, who had the face of an angel and the impulse control of a paper towel in the rain, spotted a picnic table in a park. On that table sat a sandwich wrapped in wax paper. Before Eli could say, "Leave it," Biscuit had already committed a federal-level snack crime. The sandwich vanished. A woman at the picnic table gasped. Eli went cold. This was one of those moments where you start mentally drafting apology language before your mouth even catches up.
"Oh no, I am so sorry," Eli said.
He usually doesn't do that. I mean, he does do that, but not this fast. The woman, whose name was Tara, stared at Biscuit, who had the guilty expression of a dog who had just robbed a train. To everyone's surprise, Tara started laughing. Not a little laugh. A full, wheezing, forehead-in-hand laugh. Because the sandwich Biscuit stole was not actually Tara's. It belonged to her brother, who had been tormenting her all afternoon by repeatedly stealing her fries, her chair, and her last two grapes.
"So basically," Tara said, trying to catch her breath, "your dog just robbed a thief."
Eli looked at Biscuit. Biscuit looked at Eli. Biscuit then sat down like a small, smug criminal waiting for legal representation. Tara's brother came back from the restroom, saw the empty sandwich wrapper, and shouted, "What happened to my lunch?" Tara pointed at Biscuit and said, "Nature happened." That broke the ice instantly. The brother, instead of getting angry, started laughing too, especially when Eli offered to buy a replacement sandwich and Tara insisted on buying Biscuit a treat for services rendered. They ended up chatting for nearly half an hour. Eli discovered Tara was new to town. Tara discovered Eli knew the best dog-friendly walking routes. Biscuit discovered that whenever humans become friends, snacks become more available. By the end of the week, Tara and Eli were texting. By the end of the month, they were regular walking buddies. And Biscuit? Biscuit became the proud, slightly shameless mascot of their friendship. So yes, technically the misunderstanding involved a stolen sandwich. But emotionally? It was a very successful exchange of trust. At a community roller rink, there was a teenage girl named Priya, who showed up wearing neon elbow pads and the determined expression of someone who had promised herself she would have a fun time, even if her dignity had to be left in a locker. Priya was not a confident skater. In fact, she was the kind of skater whose ankles looked like they were sending distress signals. She had just wobbled her way onto the rink when a very tall, very earnest guy named Noah skated over to her. In his defense, Noah thought he was being helpful. In Priya's defense, he appeared out of nowhere like a helpful giraffe. Noah said, "Don't worry, I've got you. I can help you get the hang of it." Priya, hearing only the words, "I've got you," immediately assumed he meant, "I am here because you are about to dramatically fall." She straightened up and said, "I'm fine. I don't need help." Unfortunately, the universe chose that exact second to have her skate hit a tiny, sticky spot on the floor. Priya lurched forward, arms flailing, and Noah lunged to catch her. He missed her elbow, grabbed air, and then somehow ended up doing a very graceful, very accidental twirl that made it look like he was performing interpretive rescue ballet. Priya stared at him. Noah stared back, embarrassed. And then Priya burst out laughing because the whole scene was so ridiculous it was impossible not to.
"I thought you were coming over to point out that I looked like a baby deer," she said.
Noah blinked.
"What? No, I just thought you might want a hand."
Priya laughed harder.
"I know. I'm just deeply committed to misunderstanding kind people."
That line became the unofficial start of their friendship. Noah spent the next 10 minutes teaching her how to bend her knees, which apparently is the secret to skating, and also the secret to not looking like you're being chased by invisible bees. Priya, in return, taught Noah how to stop apologizing every 4 seconds because he was one of those people who said sorry if a chair looked at him funny. By the end of the night, they were skating side by side, both laughing every time one of them nearly toppled over. Later, they kept meeting up at the rink. Then they got milkshakes after. Then they started being the kind of friends who can roast each other gently, but still remember how each other takes their coffee. All because one person tried to help, and the other person thought help meant humiliation. Honestly, the human brain is so dramatic sometimes. In a little independent bookstore, there was an older man named Walter who loved mystery novels, rainy afternoons, and the peaceful sound of pages turning. He was one of those people who moved through the world like a library had personally raised him. One day, Walter noticed a young woman named Sophia at the counter, holding a book he had been searching for months. It was the last copy of a novel by one of his favorite authors. Walter had been circling that book for 3 weeks, waiting for payday. Now here it was, in someone else's hands. And then, to make matters worse, Sophia picked up a different copy from the shelf and placed the rare book into her tote bag. Walter's eyes widened. Oh no. He assumed, with the full confidence of a man who had spent too long alone with his own thoughts, that she was shoplifting his dream book. Before he could stop himself, he stepped forward and said, "Excuse me, I think you forgot to pay for that." Sophia froze like a deer caught under fluorescent lights. Her face turned bright red.
"I did pay for it," she said, horrified. "I have the receipt."
Walter felt his soul leave his body for a moment. She pulled out the receipt and showed it to him, except it was for the other book. The one she had bought was a gift for her sister. The rare novel in the tote bag was actually her own copy from home, which she had brought in because the bookstore was doing a trade-in event and she was nervous she'd mix them up. Walter had, in one heroic leap of misreading, accused her of theft for absolutely no reason. There was a long, awful silence. Then Sophia, to her immense credit, started laughing. Walter looked so mortified that she immediately felt bad for him, which is the magical thing about sincere embarrassment. It often creates instant sympathy. "I'm so sorry," Walter said. "I am a complete fool." Sophia waved a hand.
"No, no. You just looked very committed to your accusation. Almost theatrical."
Walter, still dying inside, admitted he loved that author too and had been hoping to buy the book for months. Sophia's face lit up. She told him she had an extra copy at home because she rereads it every winter like it's a blanket. 10 minutes later, they were standing in the aisle arguing, very kindly, about which chapter was the funniest. By the end of the conversation, Sophia offered to lend Walter her spare copy, and Walter recommended 3 other books she would probably love. What started as a near scandal became a book club for 2. And if that isn't proof that sometimes the fastest way to friendship is sheer mortification, I don't know what is. Airports are already a strange place. Everyone is tired, everyone is carrying a beverage they probably shouldn't spill, and everyone looks one delayed flight away from becoming a different person entirely. So when a woman named Nadine sat down near a charging station and smiled at the man across from her, she was trying to be polite. His name tag was not visible. She had only seen him in passing near security earlier. He smiled back and said, "Well, this is awkward." Nadine's brain immediately sprinted in 6 directions at once. Awkward? Why awkward? Did she know him? Had they met before? Was he about to say they had dated in college? Was he the brother of someone she had accidentally insulted at a wedding? Was this going to become a social disaster at Gate B14? She leaned in and said,
"I'm so sorry. Do I know you?"
The man laughed nervously.
"I thought you were my cousin's wife."
Now Nadine was even more confused.
"I'm definitely not your cousin's wife."
He stared at her for a second, then said, "Oh, wow. You are not even remotely her." That was unfortunate phrasing, but in his defense, he had been looking at a woman who resembled his cousin's wife from behind, and when Nadine smiled, he assumed fate had decided to make the airport weirder than usual. Once the confusion cleared, they both laughed so hard they nearly snorted into their overpriced airport snacks. His name was Ben. Her name was Nadine. He was returning home after visiting family. She was on her way to a work conference she did not want to attend under any circumstances. They ended up talking through the delay, trading stories about terrible airport food and the universal misery of boarding groups. Ben shared half his cookies. Nadine shared her charger. They both complained about a flight that had the personality of a damp sock. By the time their planes were called, they had exchanged numbers and made a plan to meet for coffee if their cities ever lined up again. A month later, they did. A year later, they were still sending each other random travel memes and emergency, "I need a human opinion" texts. And all because one man said, this is awkward, and accidentally launched a friendship on terminal confusion. So what did we learn from these beautifully chaotic little mix-ups? Sometimes a cupcake looks like criticism, sometimes a dog looks like a hero, sometimes trying to help looks like you're about to give a lecture, sometimes a bookstore misunderstanding turns into a shared favorite novel, and sometimes an airport stranger turns into a lifelong friend because both of you are too tired to be normal. The funny thing about misunderstandings is that they can reveal something really sweet underneath all the confusion. They show patience. They show humor. They show that most people are much kinder than our anxious brains give them credit for. And in the best cases, they leave you with a story you'll be laughing about for years. If this video made you smile, give it a like and subscribe for more funny, warm, feel-good stories from Storytime. And now I want to hear from you. Have you ever had a misunderstanding that turned into something unexpectedly sweet or funny? Tell me in the comments. I read them, and I promise. I love a good accidental friendship. If you want, the next story could be even better. The weirdest times people tried to play it cool and completely failed. Trust me, that one is a gem. Until then, stay kind, stay curious, and if someone offers you a cupcake, maybe ask what the vibe is first.